Good evening and welcome to the BBS Talk Radio Show for a Beautiful You, where we will celebrate the success of men and women, presented to you by the award-winning Miss, Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Now here's your host, Our Lady Di.
Good evening and welcome to For a Beautiful You. We're so happy to have you join us tonight. Normally we are pretty upbeat, you know, show with a lot of positive things, you know, going on. But, you know, we really wanted to take a step back tonight and really speak about a topic that, you know, because of the elections and things going on, it's pretty much, I think, being overlooked. It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, in case our listeners weren't aware of that. And it was brought to my attention that it would be a good show to focus in on and speak about, you know, that issue. And for women who are listening out there tonight, we hope that you will gain some very valuable information on what we have to speak about tonight. So I would like to welcome tonight's guest. Both have been involved in some way or another with domestic violence issues, and both are educated on what it's about. We're going to speak with Jereen tonight, and we're going to speak with Faye. How are you two ladies doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, we're very happy to have you on the show tonight to speak about this very important issue. I'm going to start with Jereen. Jereen, why do you think it's something that we need to bring forward on tonight's show?
I feel that domestic violence awareness is a very important area for us to know, so that if the pattern starts involving us in our lives or in the lives of those that we love, that steps can be taken to stop it from going to a measure where it can truly harm the people that are involved. There are so many programs out there, so much training. There is a considerable amount of unity in people who are getting together and helping women and men overcome violence in their home or in their lives, whether it be a married partner, just any kind of intimate partner, somebody they're dating or somebody that they're seeing on a very steady basis. And this is a very valuable tool to know how to reach out and get help if you run into the problems.
Well, we've done some research and data, and Jereen specifically had really researched this information, and I was really shocked at some of the statistics going on with this. For example, research indicates that as many as 20% of young girls and teens have experienced some form of dating violence. Now, when we speak about dating violence, Faye, what do you think that it is that the researchers are finding? What is happening with young girls as far as dating violence?
I think that a lot of these young ladies might have a self-esteem issue. They want to be loved, so they overlook it a lot of times as a controlling boyfriend is somebody who cares about me, who really loves me. They know what's, you know, they know what's best for me. And then, fortunately, it progresses beyond that, and a lot of times it becomes a violence. It becomes hitting. It becomes controlling what they wear and who they speak to. And it's happening a lot in high schools and in college.
Well, you know, I'm going to get down right to the nitty-gritty here. Domestic violence can be physical, sexual, emotional, economical, psychological actions, or threats of actions that influence another person. In other words, behavior that, you know, the manipulation of abuse. Now, I don't want to focus in on all women here, Jereen, because there are, I think, a smaller percentage of men as well that are you know, have victims, are victims of abuse as well. And I think, you know, I want to just make it clear that abuse in any shape or form, whether it is, you know, verbal or physical, can cut right through somebody's spirit. Okay, and I've always believed that a father in a home is a prime example for children as they're growing up to become adults. And that children look up to their fathers when they are growing up. And men don't really, I think a lot of men don't take their role seriously as fathers because they really are leaving an imprint on each of their daughters and sons' lives. And if there is any form of domestic violence in the home, I believe that it can affect children. Do you agree with me there, Doreen?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I wanted to share a couple of the statistics that I did find. When you mentioned that men are involved as well, according to the CDC adverse health conditions, when you're talking about intimate partners, it says each year the result is an estimated 1,200 deaths and 2 million injuries among women and nearly 600,000 injuries among men. That's pretty powerful. That's a lot of people. And it says that 23.6% of the women and 11.5% of the men have had a lifetime history of intimate partner violence victimization. So, yes, men are definitely involved in it, and men do set the pace. I believe that it's not just men. I believe both parents set the pace in a family as to how the child responds. If the mother is a very controlling mother, then you're going to see a very controlling child, whether it be, you know, particularly a female. And there have been some definite abusive situations where the woman takes control and does all the violence that is noted against men. So I think it's very important to become aware of the patterns that we get into and seek help early on so that the communication and equal exchange of both partners can be in the relationship so that you can have a strong family value that you can teach your children, you can break the pattern. That is very important.
Well, domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another intimate partner. Now, this to me would pertain more so when you're married, Faye. And, you know, what is it, how does this form of abuse start towards women from their husbands?
A lot of times it's, they pay special attention to you. They're quite the charmers to begin with. They are loving, doting on everything that you do. And, you know, then it becomes an issue of, oh, I don't think you should hang out with that person. That person isn't a very good person for you. Then it becomes, oh, you can't wear that outfit. I really don't think you look good in it. I want you to wear this. And it just progresses on to where eventually they end up with control over everything you do, every aspect of your life. And I have experienced that, and it's a very subtle. You don't even realize it's happening until all of a sudden you have no personal power. It just is gone. Everything that you do is controlled by this other person. You have to ask permission to do things. I had to ask permission to drive my own car. It just gets out of hand, but you don't realize it's happening at first. You think it's somebody who really cares about you, loving, but there's little signals, something that if you don't think it's right, that you got to pay attention to. And a lot of times women just kind of blow it off, or men, oh, you know, they're just being overprotective, and it just continues to progress.
And I know, Faye, for you, you know, discussing this may open up some wounds, but you know what? It has to be addressed because women are hiding today. They're afraid. They're threatened. Their lives are threatened. They're afraid to be able to do anything. And there are shelters and locations that they can go to be able to get away from this, okay? So the first thing they have to realize is that their self-esteem, like you said, is so low that it's hard for them to look at themselves in the mirror and say, can I get out of this? Am I afraid to get out of this? I'm never going to make it on my own. I'm worthless. I don't feel very good. You know, there's a lot of things that come into play with this. So, Doreen, how does one get out of an abusive relationship?
very difficult for many, but I think that it really starts in believing in yourself. Getting to know, I've developed an acronym called HELP. Getting to know your local hotline. Getting to know being prepared with an emergency exit. And find all your links in Lifeline. You can do researches online, but anybody who does that, every one of the vital search areas warn the woman that you use a safe computer that cannot be traced, because too many abusers will track what the woman is doing. So when you do search and you look for your links and the different lifelines that you have available in your community, make sure that you do it safely. Then what you would want to go is you want to work on what I call the P of the HELP. That's preventing, participating in community support, and finding ways to protect yourself and your family against the abuse. And the prevention is all about choosing your partner wisely, becoming educated on how to diffuse the negative situations and maintain a lifestyle of positive self-esteem and encouraging a healthy exchange. That's the most important part. I don't know how much you wanted me to go into this. I was married for 17 years to a man where there was an abusive relationship. In fact, the last 5 years of the marriage, I ran and hid from him because there were personal threats on my life and on the lives of my children. And it was very, very difficult to get away. I am a very assertive individual, and at the time I met him, I was very self-confident, but as Faye explained, he starts edging away at your self-confidence. In my case, he told me that there was no way that any other man would have me, that I was lucky to have him in my life. Or he would go out and he'd do something, and he'd come back and say how wonderful I was for not saying anything about it. And then he would say negative things about me and just make my self-esteem go down so low that I thought, well, maybe that's the only thing. And the fact that he was a father to male children, I felt I needed to stay in the relationship because I was raised family with family. You learn, though, that family does not hurt family. Family builds family. Family gives equal exchange. Family shares love. The teen helpline out there is called Love is Kind. It's teaching them how to build self-esteem and know that the value of love is kindness, is loving. It is not abuse. It is not taking away your self-esteem. It's helping you to find yourself and grow. And that's why the awareness is so important.
Awareness is very important when it comes to, this kind of thing. It's a thing that is very, very hard for a woman to be able to take. For example, I'm going to go right into physical abuse, okay? I mean, since we're speaking about this, you know, we're going to lay it on a table. Physical abuse includes hitting, slapping, shoving, grabbing, pinching, biting, hair pulling. Physical abuse also includes denying a partner medical care or forcing alcohol or drug use on that particular person. You know, when all of this comes into play, that is a red flag, you know, flying high, okay? If a young woman is dating a man right now who is controlling or raises his hand to slap her, punch her, or hit her, she needs to get out of that relationship because it's only going to get worse unless that person realizes that they need help and they get help. Which brings me to the help issue, Faye. Can somebody be helped when they have this problem?
They can be helped, but they have to have enough inner strength to be, you know, to be ready for that move. A lot of women end up staying in relationships and waiting because they don't feel that they can support themselves or their children. They don't feel that they are strong enough to do it. They're scared. It just kind of depends on where they're, you know, what stage they're in. I kind of think there's more than one stage. I'm not sure how many. But when it gets to that point where you're just like, I can't do this anymore. It's going to hurt my kids. I'm going to end up dying. something bad is really, really going to happen. When they reach that point, that is when they need to reach out for the help. They can't, you know, wait any longer.
And they need to get the help to get them, you know, through this before.
They didn't know about the resources that were available. When my final abuse took place, and I went to a friend and said, I don't know what to do, she took one look at me and said, Faye, you need to go down here. She sent me down to, the prosecutor's office, and I was immediately taken into a room for domestic, where they dealt with domestic violence, and they started taking pictures. And I think that's when it really dawned on me that if I hadn't left, I might not have made it out. I took a look at the pictures. Because when you don't really look at yourself because you're not comfortable with who you are, your esteem is so low. When I finally saw the pictures that they had taken of me, I said, that's it. And they put me into a shelter. We ended up with a restraining order. All those things were put into place. And they immediately started giving me counseling, giving the kids counseling, because it was so important to start building us back up. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. I didn't have anything. I didn't know what to do. These people were really amazing that reached out and helped me.
And you know, Faye, back in the 70s and early 80s, maybe even 60s and 50s, when there was abuse in the house, the police really never took it that serious. I mean, and really, if we called the police, they would just consider it an argument between two people, and that was it. Now, I'm glad to report, Jereen, I believe since the mid-80s, I believe it started where this domestic violence came to the forefront, that the authorities started taking this a lot more serious than they used to. And why do you think that happened? What do you think came into play for that to happen, Jereen?
I think that the public started to become more and more aware of it. In 1994, Congress passed the Violence Against Women Act, and that was one of the landmark legislations that started helping women address the issues in the home. And I believe it was 2004, 2005, President Bush added to that act. It was just that originally it was just against domestic violence. But when it was added to or enhanced, it included dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Now, these acts weren't just saying, hey, it's out there. They started developing task force to help build up training and understanding, being able to identify it in your community, being able to handle it and offer outlets for the people who were the victims of the violence that they were seeing. And it's really good to see that when they're talking about dating, that they're not just talking about older women. They're reaching out to the teens before it gets started, and they're trying to build the self-esteem and let them know that they do not have to put up with violence. About 25% of the girls that are in high school still are talking about going out on dating and having problems with the person they're dating. They're being violently attacked, or they're being verbally attacked, and their self-esteem starts to be knocking down there. So in 2009, it's going to be a real strong launch forward to be able to reach out to these young girls so that they can find out what it, you know, that is not part of a healthy relationship. And that's why I love that they named their helpline for these kids Love is Kind, or should I say the Love is Kind www.loveiskind.com. And I know that women can get help. Anyone can get help. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, I've been wanting to say, is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-SAFE. That is a national hotline. They would be able to connect you with the different areas that would be able to help you. And that is one of the very first things that everybody should have. I do believe that as people start recognizing that this is a very large problem with society. Over 92% of women that were interviewed said that they feel that it should be the highest on the list for addressing on problems in women's lives. And so that means that it's very vital, and that we need to really start opening up our eyes and say, violence no more. It's time to start showing love and growth. And I am really happy to say that the research I saw this week, there's over 30 state kind of national hotline type areas where they really develop and they help centers being developed. They've put out books on how your community can put together a resource center for women. It's really good to see it spreading. When I ran and hid, it was in the late 80s. There was very little out there to help me. I was just so scared that I didn't know where or what, but I did know that the threats that he was saying, if he ever came through, that my children and I would not be alive today. And so I needed to get out and away. And that is, you know, having, being a survivor, by the way, say welcome to the club. It's wonderful to be a survivor, to be able to get away. And to find that empowerment, to know that, it's not something that has to be in our lives. One thing I do want to mention here is that we're painting a picture of somebody who could be mean, but that's not how we see them. We see the men in our lives as men that we married, men that we fell in love with, and they do come back as that very loving, giving, considerate man, and sometimes very deeply apologetic after the offense, but they continue to control. And in my case, he would know when I was getting ready to leave, and he'd go right back to the wonderful man that I thought I married. And I was so dedicated to family life that I thought, okay, that was just a phase. We'll get over it. We'll get through this. But each time I went back into the marriage, because I left him three times, every time I got back into the marriage, he had this extra vote of confidence that he could do it and he could do more. And he pushed the envelope more every time I allowed it to happen. So that's a warning, gals. If you've already had to go back twice and it's happened twice, don't go back a third time, because I almost didn't make it out the third time. So that's something that's very, very, very important, is even though you love and even though you've been trained or taught that a family and marriage should be for your lifetime, it's supposed to be a lifetime of love and equal sharing. It's not a lifetime of being driven into the ground mentally, physically, or any other way that the abuser wants to use it. Or isolation. It's not isolation, not at all.
Well, domestic
mine
violence
was an addiction.
Well, go ahead, Faye. Go ahead.
Okay, my abuser was an addict who would fall off the wagon, and that's when the abuse would just get real horrible. Now, when he wasn't using, he was kind, considerate, loving. He was still kind of controlling, but he was never violent until he fell off the wagon. And I tried to give him chance after chance of getting it together. I invested my time in this family. I know exactly what you're saying. And I think I left about three times, too. So I understand what you mean. I wanted to get married and stay married for the rest of my life. It just didn't
Me
work
too.
That way. Couldn't overcome his own demons. And when he couldn't, he would strike out at anybody.
Well, domestic violence can happen to anyone, regardless of race, age, sexual orientation, religion, or gender. After this commercial, we're going to talk about the three key abuse factors and what women who are in this kind of relationships with men are suffering right now. And we'll be back to speak with you and Faye and Doreen answer your questions after this commercial.
Have you ever wanted to compete in a pageant system that focuses in on your self-esteem and positive attributes? Have you accomplished something successful in your life and want to tell the world? Then you've come to the right place. The award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties pageant is looking for you. The national pageant will take place next July 2009 in Illinois, where women from all over the United States will vie for the coveted title. For more information, please visit the website at usbeautiespageant.com. The Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant, celebrating the success of the modern woman. are looking for corporate and business sponsors for the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant. Premium sponsor packages are available for those who would like to sponsor a beautiful pageant system that celebrates the success of the modern woman. For more information, please visit the Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant website at www.usbeautiespageant.com.
And we are back. This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And with all that's happening with the world, and it's very important what's going on with the world today in the elections, I really think this is not being spoken about it, you know, at all, you know. And we wanted to at least speak a little bit about it tonight to our listeners with the hope that if somebody's listening, we'll be able to educate them and give them important helpline information at the end of the show. We're going to talk about emotional abuse, okay? We're going to start out with that first. Undermining an individual's sense of self-worth and our self-esteem. This may include but is not limited to constant criticism, okay, where it's you can't do anything right, okay? Everything you do is wrong. How come you didn't do this, and you didn't do this right? How come this wasn't cooked, and how come this and that? You know, constant criticism, diminishing one's abilities, you know, to do anything. I mean, then you start to feel like you're not doing anything right. You know, name-calling, okay? Well, to me, physical abuse, as far as hitting and stuff, is bad. But emotional abuse is just as bad. Name-calling, swearing, name-calling, for example, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, you know, nobody wants you, who cares about you, you're nothing. You know, you keep saying that to somebody, after a while they start believing it. Nothing is worse than crushing someone's spirit, okay, and that's exactly what happens with that. And damaging one's relationship with his or her children, I'm going to tell you something. When the children are listening to the mother or the father and mother, you know, the father start and mother start, whatever, go back and forth with mean words, eventually they're going to become mean parents, okay? So we need to focus in on this emotional abuse and see it for what it is, okay? So if this is going on in one's house, Faye, what needs to be done?
I think you need to just reassure yourself that those things that they're saying are not true. It's hard to do. I was always told I was fat. No matter what, if I said, oh, I lost a few pounds, he would say, I know where it is, look behind you. You know, like I couldn't ever lose any weight or I couldn't ever be thin and beautiful. So, you know, it's hard to diffuse that, and a lot of times you just kind of have to say, okay, I know that they're not right. I'm comfortable with myself. I like myself. If I can keep telling myself that, then, you know, I'm going to believe that instead of what they're saying. But it's hard to do. I don't know why a person does that except for the fact that they want to get you to depend on them. With that, you know, with lowering your self-esteem, that makes you feel like you have to have that person around.
Well, I knew somebody who had, you know, a mother and a father live in the same house with him. And as he was growing up, it seemed like the only thing that they cared about was money. And the mother could never do anything right. And the name-calling in the house was just horrible, you know. And I think that when children hear this name-calling, they're going to grow up to, you know, be name-callers. I mean, you know, hopefully it's going to be one way or both one or the other way and that they won't do it and realize that it's wrong. But I don't know, Doreen, what do you think about that?
Well, I really feel that name-calling is a very vital thing that anything you do in front of your children is impressionable on them. In my case, the thing that made me step away was, as long as he was making me feel bad, I figured I could take it because I was the mom and we were supposed to be a family and he was supposed to be the dad. But once I discovered that he had taken it to my son, my eldest son, and was actually harming him when I was at work and not leaving scars but threatening to kill all of us if he said anything, I thought my son's behavior was just because of our arguing. My trying to protect them from their dad and his negative attitudes. But when I got him away from his dad and found out that he was actually harming him, that was the last time I ever lived with my ex-husband. I mean, I walked. I had two suitcases and a couple hundred dollars in the bank, and I walked because there is no way that I was going to let him do to my children that he did to me, although I had been allowing it to happen. Because I was taking the abuse in front of my sons. And it did take several years for them to understand that the area of respect in any relationship, whether it be a parent-child, whether it be a husband and wife, or just somebody you're dating, that respect is very vital to keep a healthy relationship going. That was a very hard lesson to teach all of us. And I'm very thankful to say that my eldest son has a little boy, and I've never seen a more excited dad on earth. He just caters to his wife, and he's got a very healthy attitude about a family. And that, to me, you know, says that leaving my ex, that is the reward, knowing that I left him in time to save my son and to save his family. And that's very, very important. I urge anyone who has any kind of negative thing going on in their household that can harm your children, that you really consider their future as well as yours, and that you seek help. It doesn't mean you have to leave him, but that you seek help so that you can get it back into balance and get it back into love, and that you protect yourself in the process. I don't know, did I mention the statistic that every day 3 women are killed in a domestic violence situation?
No, you didn't.
Every day.
You know, you figure three women. Times 30, that's 90 a month, times 12, that's a lot of women. And that's probably at a low end.
And well, and that's just an average of 3. They usually say 3+. So that's very frightening. Very frightening if you realize that.
Oh, very much so. Yes, yes, yes.
And 75% of the murders on women are from an intimate partner. And that's also very scary. So
well, we're happy to learn that your son took the right road.
Yeah,
you know,
it was,
but it doesn't always happen that way.
No,
because
no.
I've known wonderful young men who were raised in a home where their father abused the mother, grew up to be like that, and it's a very sad commentary. Okay, because the children are born to be violent. You know, they saw it happen. So I'm glad that he took the right road and really put it in his head that he was never going to be like that, and probably going to treat his wife extra special and be more on guard because of that versus, you know, not going through that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right, honey. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I believe that it's as you said, that he really put himself on guard and did not want to do to his family that he had observed from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very important to me. I did go through counseling. It was very important to me that I helped build his self-esteem and helped let him know that he was an incredible young man and he was capable of doing anything he chose to do. And the counselors really warned me about negatively discussing their father around the male children, because male children will adapt. They'll think, well, that's my dad, so I'm going to be like it, so they just fall into the pattern. So it was very important to separate the fact that his dad had done that and just build his self-esteem and focus there. And I think that we all stepped out much healthier through it. mind you, I'm not a perfect angel. There were some times I let it fly. But
well, who's
in the
an
most
angel? Yeah. we're not talking about just regular little angers and human emotion.
No.
We're talking about
no.
the other side. I mean, completely different scenario here.
Right.
So,
right.
But
I am an angel.
Yeah. And one is psychological abuse, causing fear by intimidation, threatening physical harm to self, partner, children, or partner's family or friends, destruction of pets, which, sad, and property, and forcing isolation from family, friends, or school and or work. Now, say, the psychological abuse is just as bad as physical. I mean, did you ever feel isolated from family and friends?
Oh, absolutely. There were times when I didn't have a phone, that he would take the phone, he would take my car, I couldn't leave the house. You know, he could go do whatever he wanted to do, but when it came down to me wanting to spend any time with anybody I knew, that wasn't okay. I was cut off from a lot of things, people at work. I ended up losing a job over this, and they after the fact kind of figured out what was going on, but, you know, it was too late at that point. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any way of really getting out of it at first. I just didn't really know. I think for a while it took me a minute to realize what was going on was wrong. It just wasn't right. It didn't feel right. So he was very jealous. These are the universal warning signs they talk about. He was very jealous, very controlling, verbally abusive, threats, and isolation are all keys that this person is not good for you, that there's something wrong with that relationship, and that's when you need to take steps to either fix it, take back your own personal power, or you need to leave.
And, you know, as we're all speaking, it seems like we all, you know, are agreeing that, yeah, this can happen and that can happen. This has happened. I mean, it's not, we're not saying, oh, no, that can't happen or no, that didn't happen to me. It did happen. You know, it really did happen. And we're all, you know, constantly saying the same thing. You know, this abuse, whether
it's me, as I felt educated. I thought, I should know better, you know, and it doesn't discriminate. It happens to women who are, you know, are not as educated. It happens to women who have bachelor's and master's degrees. It doesn't discriminate against anybody. It can happen to anybody regardless of your circumstances if you don't notice the little warning signs.
Right. Domestic violence, according to statistics, affects people of all economic backgrounds and education levels. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, it occurs in both opposite sex and same sex relationships and can happen to intimate partners who are married, living together, or dating. You know, domestic violence not only affects those who are abused, but also has substantial effect on family members, friends, coworkers, witnesses, people, community at large. You know, and you know, children who grow up, like we had said, witnessing domestic violence are among those seriously affected by this crime because you have a 3- and 5-year-old standing there, and the father's punching and kicking the mom. I mean, they start crying. They run to the room. They constantly see this. There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to affect them when they are older because they say between the ages of 3 and 5 is when that mentality starts to develop in the brain, you know. So what that's a crucial part of the growing process, you know, affecting the brain between 3 and 5 years old. And
my daughter is 6, and she keeps asking me, and I have to kind of gently tell her no, but she keeps asking me, I want Daddy to come home, but I don't want him to be mean to you, Mommy. And I have to tell her that he can't come home because there, you know, he would not be able to control it. It's just something he does. And he's still dealing with his issues of addiction. So she's frustrated because she doesn't quite grasp that yet. That, you know, she knows it was wrong. But she
did she ever act out, Faith? Did she ever act out by pulling the heads off of dolls or maybe punching or hitting the doll or maybe taking it by the head and twirling it or something? Does she ever act out against one of her dolls?
Because sometimes she does, and she was a witness to the very last one, the last incident that happened where that one was excessively violent. I didn't know if I was going to get out of there alive. I was literally being choked to death.
No.
And so, for some reason, I don't know what stopped him. He got up and walked away, and I ran. I don't know what happened. But, you know, it was that little intervention. I believe it was divine intervention. It was God looking out for me. I grabbed her, and we left. And that was the last time that this something like that ever happened. You know, and I got away. I got into a shelter. But I think she was approximately almost 3 years old, yeah, when it happened. So she has some recollection of it, obviously.
Well, you know what? You did good. You got the kids out of it, okay? And now, you know, with your love and nurturing, you know, it's going to help them as they grow. I am a firm believer that if children are in any type of violent situation at home between the parents, that they're only going to grow up to be like that. Because if they see it constantly for 18 years, what makes you think they're not going to continue on after 18 years? There's also economic abuse, Doreen, making or attempting to make individuals financially dependent by taking control over financial resources. Tell us a little bit about that.
What happens is sometimes when a couple gets married, and I've observed in a few marriages, even today, and that is that the husband will take and say, well, all your money is our money, and my money I get to control. And he might give the woman $50 for the month or $100 for the month, and she can use it, but he will monitor how she uses it, and he will bail her out if she uses it for anything that he hasn't approved of. That is very much a control, and it takes away self-esteem like nobody's business, and it doesn't allow her an avenue for any. I think what it is some of these men are so afraid that the woman might leave them. So if they don't give them any way to pigeonhole any money, then they will be able to keep them there, keep them close at hand. And the woman will become totally reliant on them for all of their financial needs. And sometimes the man can be very, well, you don't need to buy that. I'll buy it for you. And he'll buy her clothes and he'll buy her anything she needs, but she'll always find out that she doesn't have a penny in her purse or a dime on her to make a phone call. Her whole life is isolated and controlled by the man that's in her life. And she thinks that he's taking care of her. But if something were to happen to him, she would suddenly be isolated and alone and not have any idea what to do or where to go or how to take care of herself. So that is a form of abuse. It's
a very constricting one. You know, I'm hoping that I'm going to give somebody that's listening a chance to grab pen and paper, because there's some really important informational phone numbers we'd like to give you. It's really important. So go grab your paper and pen, and we'll wait for you to come back so we can give you this information. Because, Faye, there's no reason why anybody has to live through this anymore, because there is help out there, okay? There are wonderful shelters out there versus 30 years ago for women to go to. There are people there to help you get on your feet again. The violence will not stop. Domestic violence will not stop. You have to get out of it. Even if they say, I'm so sorry, I'm never going to let it happen again, I love you so much, trust me when I tell you this is not going to stop. So we need to get the information out there for women who are in this situation. victim of domestic violence, National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. Again, it's 1-800-799-7233. If you are a victim of sexual assault, you want to call 1-800-656-HOPE, which is 4673. Again, the number is 1-800-656-4673. Victim of stalking, please call the National Center for Victims of Crime Stalking Resource Center at 1-800-394-2255. Again, that number is 1-800-394-2255. And if you know someone is a victim of dating violence, please, by all means, call the National Teen Dating Abuse Helpline at 1-866-331-9474. And family and friends, please, if you know somebody that is abused, or is in a situation of abuse situation, don't be afraid to come forward. That person needs you. You love that person. If you love that person, you're going to help that person. And, Jereen, we don't want these people to be afraid because they're, you know, everything's anonymous when they come forward, isn't it?
When you go into the helplines and the official organizations, absolutely. They do protect you, and they cover you as much as possible. There are what they call the safe houses for the women that really have to get away from an absolutely violent man. And then there are just the shelters for somebody who needs to find a home to grow and get going. Each case is handled differently by the caseworker depending on what the situation is with it. It isn't a perfect organization out there, but that's why awareness is very important, so that we can make it better and better every time we learn. And so that's what's really important about the awareness, is getting out there, helping. And when I was talking about working on the prevention and protection and working with the community, they have all kinds of fundraisers, all kinds of ways to get to know your local help shelters, everything that you can do to help build them and get them the money. There's all kinds of donations you can do. If you have a cell phone, if you have a car, if you have clothes, if you have food, anything that can do to help the local centers, because there are so many women that they really run out of resources. So there's anything that can be done to help these women as they go into a new level of their life, and hopefully a much better one, because they're able to break those binds and they're able to start getting empowerment and starting to believe in themselves again. And that's a very important part of this whole procedure.
Well, Family Violence Prevention Fund, a national education and awareness campaign targeted towards youth, expected to launch in early 2009. This new campaign will help teens and youth to recognize the signs of controlling behavior and abuse. Now, Faye, we don't want to only target men here, okay, because I've seen women who are punching and hitting their husbands, okay, mm-hmm. You know, throwing dishes around the house. The kids are running in the room screaming and crying, you know, and she's out of control, all right, and the husband's trying to stop or settle her down. So we're not targeting just men here. We're targeting women who are like this. What do these women need to do, Faye, to get help?
They have to realize that if they don't get out, that their children are going to be scarred, affected by this for the rest of their lives, and decide if that's what they want. Some women, one of the worst things about domestic violence is that your abuser will turn around and change their personality, and a lot of women go back. I know I'm guilty of that. But you have to decide what's more important to you, a healthy relationship for you and your children. And when you realize that that's what you want, then you need to get a hold of, you can have a friend, you know, a special code word that says, hey, I need help. You should have that established with a friend that you, I need to get out. They can help you. There's organizations. There's so many resources out there. Don't be afraid to look for resources. I fell into my resources kind of by accident because I did not know about all the resources that were available. But there are so many out there. Like you said, make sure if you look for them on the Internet, make sure you do it from a safe computer where you can't be traced. There's hotlines. There are other facilities in place. I went, like I said, to the prosecutor's office. They had a domestic violence office right there in the prosecutor's office who immediately took me in, gave me, made me feel like I was going to be okay. They told me where they were going to send me over to this place. No one knew where it was. It was a safe house. So it all comes down to your decision that this is it. You have to do it. And when you do it, know that that's it. You can't go back because it's not going to change.
No, if there's a woman or men listening now, and you've been in a relationship, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years and beyond, and there's this constant abuse going on, don't think it's going to change, okay? Please get some help. It's not going to change. You know, if you're getting punched and slapped and hit and called names and everything for months on end, you're delusional. You think the person is going to change. They're not going to change. They need help. You need to get them help, and you need to get yourself help. The National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline for ages 13 through 18 experiencing dating abuse, teens and parents anywhere in the country can call toll-free at 866-331-9474. It's really important that we help our loved ones get out of this abusive relationship, which brings me to the point, Jereen, what if a mother and dad is aware that their daughter is getting abused? And they trying to help her. They go to the house. They try to call her. They try to do everything they can to get her out of that abusive relationship, and they can't. What do they need to do?
Now, that's a real tough one. There are times that family members do intervention for the children. They can't always get the woman out of the household if she thinks that he is the only one that's ever going to love her. And the only thing they can do is work on building her self-esteem and trying to show her that she doesn't have to live in pain. It is very difficult. The sad thing is that the woman that goes back time and time again, she becomes a statistic. That's one of the three women that's killed every day, because she just did not listen to anybody else. What a parent can do, I don't know. I'm a person of faith, and I would just say put a huge prayer cover over them. I don't know if I can be saying that on national, but I would. That's what I would do on myself, because you've got to change attitudes, and something that it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, a lot of the abuse that happens in the families and in the lives of the women that are being abused, it's not like the guy starts beating her right away. It's very subtle changes. My husband never really lifted his hand against me and knocked me down. I did get pushed into the wall a few times, but it was his subtle threats. He had the knowledge of how to kill people because of his job. And he would say, well, hey, I can kill somebody with a piano wire if you don't do what I want you to. And so he controlled me through his threats. He controlled me through the fear that he built in me over the years that I knew him. And, he went physical on my child. And that was when I really, really, I said, no, wait a minute. Maybe I thought that I was supposed to be in that abuse, but, it's not for somebody else. It's not for my children. And something's got to happen within the woman that's in the abusive situation for her to realize that she doesn't want it anymore, that there's got to be a shift, there's got to be a change. And, some are reachable and some are not. And I hate to say that, that as a parent, I would try everything I could to get my, you know, to get the relationship balanced, to recommend them going to counseling and recommend they go to, but even counseling didn't help me because my husband and I went to counseling and he was very arrogant. He would always lie to the counselor and he'd come home and say, he believed me. And so it's a very, very difficult situation. And you need to show them love. And you need to show them a way out, a light, peace. If you can get them away from time to time and show them something that's so much better than the life that they're living, then through that example, they may just say, hey, you know what? That was nice. I don't really want to put up with this anymore. That may be the edge. Each woman is different. It really depends on who she is inside and that beauty that has been beaten down or is allowed to start growing. And that's why it's important that we train, that we go out to get involved in all the programs we can. We do a community of love and sharing and caring. And maybe through that, we can bring these women to an area where they're ready to leave the man that's hurting them so bad, or the man to leave the woman who's hurting him so bad, because it does happen.
You know, and it's very important that we discuss this issue tonight. For those who may be listening that want help and didn't know where to go, you know, now they know that there's numbers that they can contact to get them out of the violent situation they're in. Thank you, Doreen and Faye, for sharing with us your past experiences. And we're so happy and so, so happy that you're both with us and now happy and secure. I know the scarring will always be there, but at least now you can go forward in your lives and be productive citizens without somebody abusing you, whether it be physically or verbally. And for those listening, again, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. Again, we felt there was an issue that needed to be addressed tonight. We are so happy that you joined us, and thank you again, Shireen and Faye, for sharing your experiences with us. We'll see you next Wednesday on For a Beautiful You. Thank you, and have a nice week.